Go with me tonight as we go into Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. We're going to talk tonight to you concerning the path to usefulness in God's service. I talked to you the last Wednesday night that I shared with you from the Word. I talked to you along this line, and I want to share with you once again along the same theme. This is in the series of messages that I've been dealing with on the deeper life. The path to usefulness in the service of God. In Isaiah chapter number 53, let's read a few verses of this chapter, beginning at verse number 4. I tell you what let's do. Let's back up and start with the very first verse. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and we was afflicted. And he was afflicted. Yet we opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. There are certain things that we must accept if we're going to be used of God. And we must learn to live with those things. We must learn to accept them. Before I go further in the message, I want to just say a word to you. I really feel there are going to be some beautiful healings because I've been getting words from God since I've been in the meeting tonight. So don't rush from the building tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Miller, I'd like for you to come forward too. I meant to have you come forward. I'll have you say something Sunday in the service. But just so you're on the platform with us tonight so people can see who you are. This is our new business manager, Brother Miller. He's joined our staff, and we'll be hearing from him on Sunday in the services and let all the people meet him. But it's good to have you here. Praise the Lord. As I was saying, there are certain things that we must come to grips with. And one is we must learn to accept the humiliation of the cross. And this is not easy. There is a certain amount of reproach in the eyes of the world that a person takes on when they accept Christ as their Savior. There are certain things that you and I will endure at the hand of the world that sometimes will test you to see just how crucified you are to self. It's very difficult to cope with these things. It's not easy to accept. There are certain things that happen to you that causes great humiliation on your part. It causes you to be greatly grieved. It causes you in some incidents to even boil inside until you learn to conquer and to deal with these things. And I want to use tonight the life of Jesus Christ and some of the things that were said about him to point out to you some of the things that you will endure also. And unless we learn to cope with these things, see, this is the thing that's happening right now. See, there were a group of people who received the Pentecostal blessing a few years ago, and they thought they were going to keep it on a high plane. They were not going to become the people who were known, as Andre Crouch referred to last night, as the Holy Rollers. They were not going to be categorized in that class of classification. They were not going to be individuals that had the stigma of Pentecost with them. They were going to keep it on a high plane. You know, everybody was going to be millionaires that belonged to this certain class, and everyone was going to, you know, they were going to fly high. There weren't going to be any valleys. There weren't going to be any, you know, kind of heartaches and miseries. Well, you just don't serve Christ. You just don't serve God in this manner. It's true that God gives unto us some glorious experiences, but whenever you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the very fact that you have accepted him as your personal Savior, you assume certain responsibilities and certain duties. And some of that is that you're going to be despised by certain people. There's certain people that's going to hate you. And if there's a stronger term that you could use that and still be correct. They're not going to want you. They're not going to accept you. They're not going to desire you. They're not going to want to be around you. And they're going to make it known to you. See, there are certain Christians that are going through this kind of reproach even now. And others of us will go through from time to time. But this is exactly what Jesus Christ faced. You can look at it in the third verse. He said he is despised and rejected of men. He is despised and rejected of men. One of the most hurtful things that you can go through is to be rejected by your own. And yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ was rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Amen? He was despised. He was put down. Jesus was misunderstood, miserably misunderstood, because the world could not understand, if he was the Son of God, why is he so rejected? Why is he so put down by certain ones? Why is it that the church will not accept him? Why is it that the synagogue wants nothing to do with him? Why is it that the Jewish leaders are against him? Why is this? If he's the Son of God, why is this? The world tried to measure Jesus Christ by the measurement of the world, and he wouldn't fit. And they're going to do the same thing by you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't fit into the little mold of the world, and you don't fit into the social ranks of this class or the social ranks of some other class, then they're going to begin to measure you by certain measuring rods of the world, and they're going to reject you. They're going to despise you because you don't fit into their classification. That's what's happening to some of you now. You've been a church member for a long time. But suddenly you got saved. Amen? And when you got saved, you couldn't do the things you could do when you were just a church member. Isn't that right? And now then, whenever that you won't go along with what you used to go along with, then they think you're square. And they begin to hold you at arm's length. And they begin to whisper to your back. And it hurts, doesn't it? Don't sit out there, you know, with a little pious look on your face. You know, some of you have gone home and bawled and squalled because you couldn't understand why they didn't accept you. When some of you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just knew that everybody in your whole little group was going to be glad you received, and you was going to go back with your little bottle full of the Holy Ghost and hold all their mouths open, and you was going to have them all talking in tongues before the next Sunday. But when they got through with you, honey, you went home licking your wounds. Right? Isn't that the truth? They didn't want that. See? This is what they did to Jesus. Jesus came preaching love, just like the world today. They're talking about love. They don't even know what love is. See? They don't know how to give love. They don't know how to receive love. And when you really preach about love, they reject you. Let's look at something else about Jesus. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's a powerful. I could preach all night on that, Brother Miller. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He bore sorrow. I could take it from either angle. Not only did he bear my sorrow, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, but he himself was acquainted with sorrow and grief. He knew what it was to be left alone. Amen? How would you like to be going along doing good for everyone, healing their sick? They bring all of their lame folks to you, all of them to you, and you healed them, every one. And then the next time that they saw you, they walked down the other side of the street. Wasn't that what happened to Jesus? He fed 5,000 men at one lick. But you know how many followed him back to the outskirts of the city, and how many returned to go back and tear in the upper room? 120. Where are the rest of the people? Amen? Where are all those people that he healed, that he ministered to? Nothing hurts more than when you've done your best to help someone, then they reject you. He was acquainted with that. He knew what it was. Amen? Let me tell you something, friend. People under conviction are fickle people. They are dangerous. You say, what do you mean under conviction, Brother Gorman? People whom God is dealing with but yet have not made the complete surrender, they're dangerous people. They'll stand and cheer and laugh and praise God and rejoice with you as they see people healed and all. But the very next day, if somebody told a lie on you, they'd be the first one to pick it up and take it and go with it. And you may as well get ready for that. If you're not already facing it, you will face it from time to time. I preached on radio this morning. Old Paul was going along there for many days. I don't know how many days. This woman followed him around everywhere he went, followed him around saying, that man right there, he's from God. That man's telling you all about the Lord. He tells you the right way to salvation. Speaking the word. And he knew that it was of the devil. So he turned around and he commanded the demon power to come out of her. When she came out of her, these men who had her as a slave, that they were earning money from her fortune telling what have you, they got the people together, drug Paul and Silas into the marketplace. You know what they did then? They stirred up the people, and all the people then began to cheer, let's beat them, let's beat them. And then they tore the clothes off of Paul and Silas's back. They took the cat of nine tails, and they beat them and left their backs bleeding. Why? Because that they set a poor, wretched soul free from satanic power. That's the only accusation they had. That's the only thing they could prove, that here's a woman that's demon-possessed. Here is a woman that's bound by satanic power. Here's a woman that needs to be free. And they set her free. What do they get for it? They get a couple of reprobates that stirs up the half-hearted people against you. And then they beat them and cast them into prison. Amen? And people that you think are for you, if they're not really committed to Christ, they can be swung the other way. Snap of your finger. Amen? And anytime you get to looking at people, friend, anytime you get to looking at people, you're going to get hurt. You may as well get ready in this Christian walk to get acquainted with sorrow and grief, because there's going to be sorrow and grief. Well, I know. I know that you can buy books that tells you that everything's roses. I know you can get tapes that'll tell you that everything's great, that it doesn't happen. But Jesus Christ said, if I being your Lord and Master have suffered, then you following me are going to suffer also. Is that right? Amen. So you may as well get ready to get acquainted. That's why I never, never, never allow myself to get attached to a person to the point that that person, by their falling, or by their mistake, or by their error, would cause me to fall and to become discouraged and to quit.
I just won't do it. Amen. I got hurt very severely as a young Christian, and I thank God for it. But I won't allow myself to do that anymore. I just won't do it. You've got to learn that people, especially people who aren't dedicated, or people who are half-hearted, or people who are drifted away from God a little ways, as soon as they see a fault. Brother Finley, as soon as they see a fault, you make one mistake, and the devil jumped up and said, see there, I told you, and then they turn against you. And this is what the world will do. Amen? Part of the crowd, and the records will prove when we stand before God, that part of the crowd who screamed out, crucify him, crucify him, put him to death, give us Barabbas instead of him. The records will prove in heaven that some of those people sat on that hillside and ate of the fishes and the loaves that he gave. But there they were screaming out. I've seen it too many, many times. Amen? When the world, people who are half-hearted, true Christians will stick with you. But don't be deceived. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is really a true Christian. And I'm going to surprise you a step forward. Not everyone who talks in tongues is led by the Spirit. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Let's go with verse number 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, I saw something today when I read that I had never seen before in my life. Brother, it's one thing for me to have to bear what I do, for me to have to pay the debt for what I do, for me to have to drink the bitter cup of my own doings. But brother, for me to have to suffer while Finley goes free, for me to have to suffer while you go free, when you're out here going your own way, and I'm having to take the blunt of the thing for you, and you're going footloose and fancy free. And when I saw that for the first time, I saw that's what God did. God allowed all of his frustrations, and God allowed, if you allow me to use the word frustration, but God allowed all of his anger and all of his wrath and all of the things that it should have been mine. Here I am out here lying and cheating and cursing and living my own way. And God allowed Jesus to take the blunt, to take the rap, to take the punishment for every bit of it. Amen? If I can try to analyze this or try to parallel it, it would be like you having two sons, and you take one of your sons and you whip him for the wrongs the other kid did when he was innocent. And every time the other kid did something, you never punished him, you always punished the other one. Jesus never committed a wrong. Jesus never committed a wrong. And yet he paid for every wrong I committed. Jesus never told a lie. Yet he paid for every lie that every one of us ever committed. Jesus Christ never one time committed any kind of sin. Yet he bore the sin of the entire world. Amen. And the thing that, boy, that gets me up. See, this is a whole new realm. It just began to open, just began to light and light. This makes it more a miracle and more a tremendous act of God's love in that Jesus could do this and not open his mouth. Amen? The Lord laid on him the sins of us all, brother. Everybody's sin he put on Jesus. And Jesus never opened his mouth. They stood there and falsely accused Jesus Christ. And like a lamb dumb before his shears, he never said a word. Not one word did Jesus ever say. Amen? He could have defended himself, but he didn't. He bore it for you and for me. And then he took the rap for us. He took it. God had to be satisfied. The wrath and the anger of God had to be satisfied. And the only way it could be satisfied was for a perfect sacrifice to pay the debt for every sin that had been committed or that ever would be committed. And Jesus, God lay on him the sin of us all. God lay on him the entire world. And yet he opened not his mouth. Amen. Jesus Christ had to stand there while Satan unleashed every power that he could against him. And yet Jesus could have stopped it at any point, but he opened not his mouth. You see, if you read the Gospel of John, you'll find in the Gospel of John where that it speaks there that Jesus Christ says, now is your hour, and the powers of darkness. I believe John is the one who said that, is it not? It was the gospel writers. And when he said that, what he was literally saying is, he was Satan the gate. There is no restraint in what you want to do. This is your hour. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your day. Do whatever you want to. There'll be no one that'll try to stop you. No one. And Satan, through the powers of Satan, he put into the hearts of men, beat Jesus to lie, stand. Whoa, can you imagine what it would take? What it would take? What kind of a man would it be that would stand there and watch Jesus as he was beaten? And every man that stood there knew that he was innocent. They knew that he was innocent. Pilate knew that he was innocent. These men knew they were lying on him. And they beat him until he had no form or comeliness about him. He was as a piece of raw, bleeding flesh. And they stood there and watched. And never once did one of them come to the point and say, I'm sorry, sir, but I lied on this man. I lied on him. No record of it. No record. Jesus stood there with his mouth shut. One time, as Jesus sat there, they plucked his beard. They spat upon him. All Jesus would have had to done, throw the entire thing, chaos, was to stand up and speak one word, because what they were doing was illegal. But Christ opened not his mouth. He who had no need that any man should tell him anything about another, because he knew all things. He knew, and yet he opened not his mouth. That's the Savior that I serve tonight. That's the Jesus that I serve. Amen. The more that I serve Jesus Christ, the further that I go in serving him, the more I'm made to realize that if I'm going to be useful in his kingdom, I have to become dead to what people say, to what people accuse me of, and try not to answer their accusations. Amen? If I know I'm innocent, then that's their problem. You follow what I'm saying? The devil would like to keep us running in circles, trying to answer the accusations that are brought against us. And if he could do that, he would stop the church cold in her tracks. But let their lies fall where they will. Let their accusations fall where they will. You take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You speak of the Lord of glory, of love. If you have wronged any man, then you make that thing right. And then don't let accusations and condemnation hold you down. If you made a mistake, then you be quick to admit it and ask God to forgive you and ask man to forgive you. God will forgive you. Man may not forgive you. But that's man's problem after you in sincerity have asked the man to forgive you. Take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling the church today to set her affections on things above and not be entangled with the things of this earth and not allow the things of this earth to interfere with us, nor to stop us, nor hinder us for becoming what God wants us to become. But beloved, hear Brother Gorman tonight. Hear me very closely. There's some of you sitting here that still got your feelings too much on your shoulders. You're still too touchy. Every little thing triggers you off. Every little thing causes you to want to quit. Every little thing causes you to pout. You must bring that thing under subjection. You must understand that we have a certain amount of sorrows and a certain amount of griefs and a certain amount of heartaches that we're going to endure. But Jesus Christ, who has called us and who has redeemed us, will sustain us if we will surrender our life to Him. I plead with you tonight as a church. I beg you to love your Savior enough that some little criticism from somebody can't turn you around. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bill, how would you like to have a wife that someone could call up on the phone tomorrow and tell her some kind of lie, and tomorrow night when you get home, she wouldn't be there. She'd be gone. You'd try to find her and you'd look everywhere. She'd say, but so-and-so told me you did that. So-and-so said it. It'd crush you, wouldn't it? It would crush you. Leave you in a state of confusion continuously. Let me tell you something. You to fall in love with Him, that nobody can turn you away from Him. Do you hear your pastor tonight? Jesus wants you to love Him so that no one can stand between and Jesus, the Son of the Living. He wants these little things. By some kind of a servant and gets a feeling hurt and says, I'm not going back to church because a pastor didn't speak to me. Boy, not some kind of deals. When I says, I heal their body, I saved their marriage, I lifted them up when they had no hope, and now because one person won't speak to them, they're going to quit serving me. They're going to quit. I wonder how it makes him feel after he's done so much. After he's done so much, so much, so much, so much. I wonder how it makes him feel. I wonder if again the daggers go through his heart. I wonder. I don't really know. I wonder if my Jesus cries as he sits at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he sits there interceding for us continuously. That's what the Bible says. Then he sees people whom he's done so much for. So very, very much for. And every little thing, they get their feelings hurt. Or they're going to quit. They're going to give up. Oh, that we could come to that point in our dedication to God, that we would say, as Job says, though thou slay me, I'm going to be right there faithful, God. Amen. Amen. Regardless, it matters not what happens, Lord. You can be count on me. You can count on me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, help us to be useful. Help us, Lord, not to be always frustrated and torn by what people say, what people do. For you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've never failed me. You've never failed to answer when I cried. You've never failed me, Lord. Oh God, though men fail me, what is that? Thou art mightier than all. Thou art a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh God. I'm not through with the message, but I feel that God would help me to close. as I close the message and as I call us to prayer, God's dealing with some of you. We have a precious couple here tonight. And I'm not saying this, we don't want sympathy, we want faith. I want you to listen to me. We don't want sympathy, we want faith. One of our fine men found out today that he has cancer. Sat in my den a few minutes ago and said to me, Brother Gorman, I've given it all, everything. His little wife reached over and caught a hold of his hand and said, Honey, I want you to know I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I'm not giving up. They didn't know what I was going to be preaching on tonight. But sometimes our experience and our dedication to God is a sunshine dedication. As long as the sun's shining, we'll be faithful. But let us hit, and we're ready to quit. We feel like God's failed us. Feel like God's failed us. Wouldn't it be something if this lovely wife were to say to her husband, Look, if you think I'm going to tie myself down to a man that's been eaten up with cancer, you're foolish. I'm not going to become a nursemaid. Wouldn't that be something? As long as you can work and earn a living, as long as you can do these things, well, I'll stay in there, and as long as you can take me where I want to go, and if you think I'm going to sit by your bedside, well, you've got another thought coming. You say, oh, Brother Gorman, a woman wouldn't do that. Don't tell me. One of the best friends I ever had on this earth was a guy who got his leg blown off while he was fighting in World War II. When he came home, his wife said, I'm not living with a peg-legged man. And she walked off and left him. But there's a lot of people that's done that to my Jesus. Done that to my Jesus. Simply because he wanted to show the greatness of his power through you. And he allowed you to walk through a valley. And you thought he had forsaken you. So you quit. You got your feelings hurt. Amen. He wanted to put you beside someone who needed to see what real love was. And the first time they gouged you, you exploded. And they still didn't see what love was. Amen. You see, the only way some people are going to see love is as you stand there and they say things to you and they say things about you, and then you look at them in any way and say, but you know, I still love you. Anyone can turn and say, if that's the way you feel, then I don't care what happens to you. Anyone can say that. But only the love of God, only the love that Jesus exemplified at Calvary, can keep reaching out there, Jim. The first time he reached for me, I'll never forget it. I was a little boy. I don't want Jesus. I don't want Jesus. And I told my mother, I said, don't talk to me about Jesus. And don't talk to me about being a preacher. I'm not being a preacher. Talk to me about that. Because you see, my mother was a Christian when she was carrying me. But during those years of torture, she drifted away from God. And she asked God to give her a son. And that son, she would give him to the ministry. And when she told me that, I was about 10 years of age. And I'd only seen two or three preachers. And I told her with no uncertain terms, I'm not going to be a preacher. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that. But God loved me anyway. When I used his name in vain, I cursed.
When I did all the things that I did, he still kept coming back saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. And the night that I knelt at that old altar, he never brought any of those things back and said, but you said this and you said that and you said the other. When I said to him, would you forgive me, Lord? I felt such love as I've never felt before. And you know, he's never one time reminded me of those ugly things I did. He's never one time held those things over my head. Not once. Amen. And there's some people, the only way they're going to ever be reached is for you to love them in spite of what they are. To love them in spite of what they are. That's what God's calling us to do. That's what God's asking of some of you tonight. Love them in spite of what they are. Bow your head and close your eyes. Frank, I want you and Alberta to come forward. We're going to pray for y'all in a few minutes. Frank found out a few minutes ago that he has cancer. And we're going to lay hands on him and pray for him. I want you to kneel right here. We're going to talk to God in your behalf in a few minutes. Frank looked at me and he says, Pastor, if cancer takes me, I'm ready to go. If that's the way God would want to take me, I'm ready to go. But you see, some of you out there, you've got something worse than cancer. The doctors can't treat it. It's known as sin.